Like a deer in the headlights or gum in your hair. What got you here will not get you there. Join us as business owners get unstuck in real time on the business building struggles we all share. Welcome to the Business Breakthrough Podcast. And here's your host, Esty Rand.
So people come to you and they say, hey, I've got an idea for a new app. And is that where they start, where it starts? Like they've got like an idea, and is it necessarily an app or is it just a tech solution? Like I've got a lot of ideas.
Yeah. So it starts in all sorts of ways. That's one of them. Typically when someone has an idea, they've already worked on it somewhat and they've already built something, not necessarily coding something, but like design something or PowerPoint or something to that effect. They've already started on the solution. Okay. I would say where I would recommend people starting is I have a problem, and start with the pain points and what you're trying to solve. And then talk to us or people like us that have the experience and the diversity of we're day in and day out looking at how to solve problems. And we could pull in solutions that a lot of people just aren't familiar with. So it's a combination of, don't get ahead of yourself and solve a problem without clearly articulating the problem, like in marketing. But at the same time, really understanding and having a vision, having an idea of where you want to head or where you want the solution to go is incredibly valuable and is something that anyone can work on their own without any tech help.
So do you custom code everything or do you use, like, there's a lot of stuff out there now. Like one of my guys introduced me to something called Bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. No code solutions and low code solutions. And
yeah, all these like GUI, GUI graphic user interface, all these like GUI solutions where you like click buttons and everything just moves. Like I built databases in Access and then that died. And then I built databases in like Zoho Creator and then that died. And now I build databases in Monday. So like there's always a something that you can fit with and create whatever you want.
Yep. So we look for, and the majority of our engagements are for SaaS software. So it's people that want to own and then sell that software to somebody else. And to do that, it's very rare that you want to build something you own on someone else's tool. There is a great time and a place for that. And that's the very first thing.
Trying it out and testing it, no?
Yep. So that case of building an MVP, a minimum viable product, and getting that to market, making sure that that is the solution that solves people's problems, that's a great place to get started. But then as that scales and grows, do you want to be reliant on something that's outside of your control that is not well proven and understood outside of that one company? That said, we work with a couple of really cool companies and partner with them, even some early stage startups that could disappear tomorrow kind of thing. It's a cost benefit analysis when it comes to that though.
So that was one of my questions, right? Cause like, let's say, you know, someone listening to this right now is like, oh, I got an idea for an app. I got an idea for a software. What's the ballpark cost that someone who's trying to do this would be looking at?
So I would suggest, what we call time and materials, fixing, which is basically starting with a budget of how much are you willing to invest? And essentially making bets. So breaking down, like let's say you have $10,000 and a month and this great idea. And you say, okay, at the end of the month, I want to try and collect a paying customer that will pay me $100 for me solving their problem. Then you can work backwards from it and say, okay, well by week two, I need at least 10 customers that could potentially buy this thing. So at week one, I need to define like a marketing page or something like that to at least be able to communicate what this thing is. So it's a strategy that says, what am I willing to bet and what am I willing to put forward to see if that idea is worth it or not?
Fair, but there's a price range, right? No one can come and say, listen, I got $500, let's see what we can do. So what is the, if someone wants to build some sort of a SaaS, what's the baseline that they have to be able to invest to risk, even if they don't end up with a return?
Yes, as much as they're able to. So our MVP, sorry, what was that?
Is it not a good enough answer? I'm gonna put real numbers.
Our MVPs start at $50,000 to $100,000.
Okay.
Where we recommend starting is what we call lean customer development. And we can help companies do that for $5,000, depending on the specific things that they need. But for example, you can go out and sell.
Lean customer development is $5,000?
Mm-hmm.
And then is that built on another solution? I know you were about to say something else. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, you're fine.
What tools can people lean on, or do you lean on? Like, I happen to love Monday. All right, I decided that if Slack and Microsoft Excel got married and had a baby, they would have called it Monday. Because that's what it is, yeah. Right? And then you have programs like ClickUp, which, by the way, is a very cute project management software, but it looks like someone took Monday and then built a program on it. So I like the foundationally super flexible ones,
because
mm-hmm. You can do anything with it. What if someone is tech-minded and they do want to try themselves? Are there tools like Bubble, like Monday, that they could play with, that they might be able to build something on their own?
Absolutely. So in general, those are low-code or no-code solutions. The code piece of that is where you're getting into more of the programming side of it. Even if you don't necessarily wrote
it. They try to dumb down everything.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I built my first website in 2000 and I ripped code off of other websites, and just because, you know, that was legal then. I could just feel like I wanted a media player, right? But I didn't know how to code that. So I found a media player and found the code and ripped it off and plugged it into my site.
Yeah. And no one had any concept of, no, that's my intellectual property and you can't do that kind of thing.
No, I felt like that was just public property. It was so easy to copy. It had to be public domain.
Yep. and there actually is some really good law cases recently that even data on people's public websites is public domain and is accessible. You just can't go and sell it again. So anyways, gets into some gray area on that. I wouldn't recommend worrying about most of that. Like, you don't want to do anything blatantly illegal, but if it's just for your own personal idea, do things that get you there faster and worry about some of that stuff later. Those are dotting your I's and crossing your T's for when you need to bring in outside funding or when you need to start selling it to other people. But like, at the point of it's just an idea bubbling around in your head, absolutely, whatever can get you to solving that problem is how these companies are born.
I love it. Okay. So I said Bubble and Monday. What other tools do you have for me?
So Notion is a great one. Notion.so, I think, is what it is.
What is it?
It is very similar to Monday and very flexible. There's actually been a series of startups that have founded as it as like a core platform where it even runs their front-facing websites, their career pages, like even the functionality inside of it, their application.
Okay.
And then even if you don't know coding, one thing we see a lot is value between two different systems. And that's where a tool like Zapier comes into play and connecting.
Zapier makes me mad, by the way. Like, I just have to say, and I'll tell you why. Because it's deceptively simple, but it's really deceptive, right? When you try to use Zapier, it's like, oh, this is so easy. And then the second you need to do anything slightly complex or the teeniest bit different than the standard thing they have, the whole thing breaks. So it makes me mad.
It's very, very brutal.
Like, this is such an easy tool. Come play with me. It's like, ha, gotcha. Now that you spent 3 hours, you can't give up. Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that's really cool about that is like that accessibility of just getting people into it and getting started, because that is for people getting started for the first time, that's one of the hardest things. And then realizing the details and the challenges that come with it is definitely very difficult, and kind of what we get paid to do at the end of the day is, like, we've been through that journey, we've understood all the gotchas, and so we could short circuit a lot of those problems that someone may run into on their own.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense. If part of your solution is stitching multiple tools together, then Zapier, if you master, and I have met Zapier masters, by the way, then you can do absolutely anything. Yeah. Like it is capable. It's just, you have to plow through.
Yeah, absolutely. Besides that, I mean, there's a lot of workflow tools out there, just in terms of like searching for, solutions. So Zapier is great for like marketplace solutions. And that's where you have a buyer group that is looking for a specialty of a supplier group. Like we worked on one that was
turn that into like layperson English.
Yeah. We worked on one that was like, looking for a photographer on demand. So like eBay or, but much more specific and niche, markets than that. I'm advising a company right now that, is doing just different services and connecting service providers to new moms. So, if you need, childcare help or, toy supplier, I don't know all the things that new moms need, but if you need one of those services that, as a new mother, you're not necessarily prioritizing, but still want help figuring out, then they as a company have that market of new moms that they introduce to service providers, and they play this matchmaking in between.
And Zapier will help them set that up?
So Zapier helps with the piece that is, they already have a email list. And if someone fills out a form, if a new mom fills out a form that says, I'm looking for this, it blasts a message to a specific area.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. But you could do that with rules in so many different places.
Yes. Yes.
Like I like Jotform. Yes. That's so much easier to use.
Yeah.
The more simple, like I like Othello. Othello.
Use that one.
Othello is not a tool. It's a game. It's a board game. I see subjects
fun.
It's a board game, white and black pieces, and you flip them.
Yeah.
Right? Super simple, but there's strategy, right? Yeah. As opposed to like Monopoly.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot more pieces and parts.
Yeah.
I think they should make a tool called Othello. Sorry, I completely switched subjects at that warning.
That was great. I think that's a good analogy for Zapier, where it looks really simple on the front end, but then you get into the strategy behind it. And we don't recommend companies scaling on Zapier at all.
No,
but it's a great MVP tool.
Great, because it got crabby one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And supporting that is a nightmare, just in terms of time and energy. And
yeah, no, not worth it. No, I totally agree with you. Right. So I told you, I've been doing database building for, I don't know, decade and a half now, long time. And I always do my first build in Excel, right? Mm. Because the first time I don't build a database, I assess the companies. If we're going to do any kind of a custom software solution, sometimes even to figure out if we're going to take an off the shelf solution, when a business comes to me and they're not properly tracking their data, right? So this is not if they're using another system, you can see what they're doing, where the holes are. This is when a company is still using random pieces of paper and documents, and every employee's got their own system. And companies get like that, right? And sometimes even into the seven figures, multiple seven figures, they just never put a system in place. And they're like, okay, we are losing all our stuff. And it's like, yeah, duh, right? First thing I'll do is build just a very complex Excel sheet. And I teach Excel at a master level. So complex is, I once had a client that I built this for come to me and say, okay, Esty, I think I'm ready for a database, but I really can't let go of my Excel. I said, yeah, but your Excel was never built to last you this long. It was supposed to be like a 3 to 6 month. This was like 2 years later. She's like, yeah, but Esty, the Excel works so well. I said, I know. She's like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, I'm sorry. Can I remind you who built that? I do understand. You still need a database. Right. But building in something that doesn't cost money, that's super flexible, that allows you to change things at whim until you figure out what you want and then go and hard code it.
Absolutely. And there's even some very cool, what we call prototyping tools that build fake applications.
Ooh, tell me about that.
So uxpin.com is one of our favorites. And I think we had a blog post about this recently, but it's basically, so it's like a Figma or a Sketch or a Photoshop kind of thing where you can lay out what an application looks like, mm-hmm. except you can then connect those pictures together. And so it behaves like, oh, there's a button here. And if I tap on that button on my mobile phone, it transitions to this next page. And so it's not perfect. It doesn't feel exactly like an app, but it's close enough. Like it's psychology tricks people into thinking that it's an app, basically.
Totally. And I've had working with clients with an app recently that they used Figma. So,
yep. So it's exactly like Figma. It allows you to prototype online. The difference, though, and the killer feature that they have, and we use Figma the majority of the time now, but we really wish Figma had this feature from UXPin, is the ability to tie up a form and turn it into an HTML page that then submits to a Google spreadsheet or wherever you want it to go. Okay. So your prototype that had a form that said, fill out this information, can then be piped to a spreadsheet.
So you can actually really use it.
Yes. So you can actually sell what that looks like. And it was as easy as Figma designing something.
That is pretty cool.
Yep.
I like that. It's like looking in the mirror and suddenly what you see in the mirror is real. Like you can go inside.
Yes. Now, it's not completely real. Like, okay, now it's in a Google Sheet. What do we do with it? Or does that change the other app experience? No, it's not quite there yet. But they're headed in that direction. And raise a lot of money.
You don't even have to build an app.
Yeah. So
we've had this because our company builds websites for people. It's our implementation department. I have a full creative arm of the company.
Yeah. So
logos and branding and websites. And sometimes like we'll do the mock-up for the website. And then the person will be like, okay, I approve. Like, are we live tomorrow? And it's like, no, now we need to build it. And they're just like, why? Like, it already looks perfect. Take the thing you showed me, stick it up on the internet. I'm good to go.
It's like, yeah, that's not exactly how it works.
It's not exactly how it works. But the tools are getting more and more sophisticated that it's getting closer and closer.
Yep. We use Webflow a lot of the time for both content management and website building. And it's just like another Squarespace or anything like that, except it allows full customization, just like Figma would for websites. But at the end of the day, it's compiling down to HTML and CSS so that it gets published and goes out live. So
we use Beaver Builder because it's just,
Builder.
It's a WordPress builder, basically. Yep. Super simple, plug and play. Does almost everything. You need barely any CSS like special coding. The most sophisticated websites, no, but it's a really simple, easy tool to launch and then maintain.
Yep. WordPress is great because of the community behind it and how many people are working on WordPress. It still powers over like half the internet or something like that. Like it's crazy.
So is Webflow another framework? Webflow is like a WordPress?
Webflow is, yes, it does have like the CMS of a WordPress, but at the same time, it allows you to export what you build into it if you want to take it to your own tool.
So you can custom the HTML in the back end.
Yes. But I think...
I feel bad, guys. I'm sorry. We're speaking gibberish. CMS is a content management system. And believe it or not, websites are actually full of words and content. So your back end of a website, like a WordPress or apparently a Webflow, which I wasn't so familiar with, is a system that manages the content, which is what your website's made up of, words, pictures, videos. It's a content management system. Yep. I feel bad because you and I could speak in like super gibberish and everyone listening, like we'd have fun, but everyone else is like, I don't really know what's flying here.
Web and it's a very nuanced decision, and I think this is where a lot of our clients and just business people we work with in general don't care, because it doesn't matter to their business at the end of the day, but it really matters to the people building pieces of it, because it's how fast are they at building it, which is the goal of an MVP, kind of going back to the software side of it. It's like the technology underneath, yeah, you can read stories about how Facebook was once built on this and now they're built on that, or Twitter, and like, yeah, those are Facebook and Twitter. That's not what we're trying to do. That's not what matters for your initial goal. What your initial goal is to get a product to market and to start making money on that product. How do you best do that? So how do you do it as quick as possible with the smallest bet possible? And that's what the minimum viable product process is about.
I like that. Okay, cool. I feel like we could talk for so much longer on all of this. But I have to ask you, what is then a current struggle of the business? Like, where are you at now?
So 2020 was crazy. I don't think I have to tell anybody that. 2020 is crazy.
Oh my gosh, I just got the best meme. I have to read this to you. This is amazing. Yeah. What was it? I can't remember it myself. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, come on. I just got it this morning. Okay. Decades I have been alive in. 1980s, 1990s, 2000s, 2010s, early 2020, March to May 2020, June, July 2020, August, September 2020, October 1st, 2020, October 2nd, 2020.
Absolutely.
Right? It's so good.
I have aged so many times and it's...
You know, I think we've been through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm cool with 6 decades in the last, you know, 10 months. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old at home and it feels like they're changing every day, but I'm like, no, they're just changing once a decade at this point. Like they're not moving that fast. It's
fine. For a while I've been saying every day is a new month. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so yeah, it's been crazy. That said, we did survive it pretty well. We didn't have to lay people off.
Right? Like you're totally online. Mm-hmm. Tons of people have ideas. More and more people are migrating online. More and more people turning regular things into apps.
Yep, absolutely. And so we now have the opposite problem that we had for the past like 3 years. So we were completely referral only based business. We're not marketers. We don't know how to go out and get customers for ourselves, for the services that we do, which is very different than products that have a very specific value prop. And so I spent the past 2 years working on that and we finally nailed that down. We have some really good growth stuff in place to help get us clients. And that's great. The hard part is delivering on all of that. So now we have more than we can handle. And we're saying no to a bunch of really cool projects. It's personally, that's a struggle of like, yes, I'd really love to help you if I were in a different boat. Like if I had a huge bench of people. But you know, there's a lot that we don't know about the future. And so we're very, for working with so many startups, we are very risk adverse. And we like to like be a lot more thoughtful and consistent instead of knee-jerk reaction that we were very early on in the beginning. And so it's finding the right balance between those that is a struggle. And we are fortunate enough that we have an amazing team that is able to struggle together and work through those challenges together and provide all these conflicting perspectives as opposed to being like just one person or just two people like we were very early on and having to have that struggle internally. So yeah, struggles don't.
Like how big do you want this thing to be?
So we're 8 people right now. My near future, and I look at that about a 2-year timetable, would be to double that. So we don't want to be 100 or 1,000 people. We're not trying to go public and like a lot of our customers are. We're trying to do great work and have a lot of fun doing it. And the challenge of scaling and bringing on people, like we are very picky in our hiring process. We're very picky in the quality and the type of work that we do and all that kind of stuff. That's a challenge for sure. So,
okay. Do you refer out when projects come to you or you, that you can't handle, or you just say no?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We, instead of saying no, I've learned to say not now. when we can't commit to something, or during an MVP prioritization process, like when someone has a great idea, but it's not aligned with where they want to go or an immediate goal, we don't say, no, we can't do that. We say, no, we shouldn't do that now. And then two, it's basically saying, I can't, but here's somebody that can. And at least having one place to pass people on to is incredibly important, just for reputation and personal connections that we're trying to make and relationships that we're trying to build. So
totally. Yeah. Like listening to you, it makes sense to me that right now, instead of putting your efforts into hiring, you'd be putting them into networking.
Yes. So
I'm not like, you don't, where, based on where you want to be in 2 years, your goal right now is not let me hire and take on more projects. It's let me find more and more other niche providers that I could refer out any projects that I don't want to take and possibly even get a cut.
Yes. So we don't, on our referrals, we don't get a cut. That's not the kind of partnerships that we've built, because we want to stay very impartial. And if a better partner comes along, or we find someone doing something new, we don't want to be tied to that, or because that would create a fiduciary responsibility for us on like our sales and growth conversations to the company, to basically say, well, I could refer to this person who might be better, or I could refer to this person who I'd make more money off of. So
no, you'd have to do it as a standard, right? You'd have to say like, yes. No, we do a standard 10% referral with all of our referral partners. Is that something you guys are okay with? And then it wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there's that. And then also on the sales side, we're still doing outreach, because like, even though we're in a good position now, we're trying to build very long-term relationships and, getting to that point of, you know, how do we have conversations during COVID where I could previously go and shake people's hands and meet them for coffee and lunch, and now I can't do any of that. So, but we've figured that out, and everyone's online pretty healthily and, doing things quite well. So.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, tell everyone where they can find you.
So you could find us and our company on vaporware.net, VAPORWARE.net. You could reach me directly at dan@vaporware.net. I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter as well.
Awesome. Okay, surprise, I didn't warn you about this. I like to ask my guests for a quote at the end. Doesn't have to be your favorite one of all time, but it can be.
Let's go with, Jason Fried, talked about, marketing, and, I was reminded of it again, today. And he said, really good marketing, should be clear and clever, but if you have to throw out one, throw out clever and just be really clear.
I like that. I'm writing it down. Really good marketing should be clear and clever, but if you have to throw out one, throw out clever. I love it. One of the reasons I love asking for quotes is I find that it so like encapsulates everything we said until now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're a straight shooter, straight talker. This is what we do. This is how we do it. We make things make sense. We make it make sense to the company, to the user, for the profits. It's clear, it's clean, it works, right? And it's clever, but if I have to throw out one, I'm gonna throw out clever.
Yep, absolutely.
And this has been excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All the new things I learned, starting from where Cisco comes from. Guys, for all of you listening, if you have an app software dream, or you know somebody with a software dream, and by the way, I know you do. I know you do, because honestly, today, I don't think a person on this planet exists that doesn't know someone who's trying to build some kind of a tech something. It's that common. Share the love. Share this episode. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere that podcasts are consumed. And, you know, subscribe, because more fun coming. And we will catch you next week. Dan, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
There are a lot of online courses out there and lots of online course academies. So when you want to learn something new, how do you choose? Well, it depends what you're looking for. And if you're looking for the best way to get a premium university level education, then edX is your answer. With over 100 million course enrollments and 152 global partners, you can learn everything from marketing, my personal favorite, to coding, languages, to management skills, and everything in between. You can pay for edX courses to get the full experience and earn verified certificates. But if all you need is to upgrade your skills or knowledge, many can be audited for free. So, I don't know what you're waiting for. I checked out edX as soon as I heard this, and you should go right now, or whenever you're not driving, to sign up at edX with our link, www.edx.org/breakthrough. That's www.edx.org/breakthrough to get a special discount and access to incredible learning, certifications, and even degrees. www.edx.org/breakthrough.
You've been listening to the Business Breakthrough Podcast with Esti Rand. If you're looking for a breakthrough in your business, reach out at estirand.com/breakthrough to be a guest on the show. Everyone's got a business struggle. What's yours?